I want to read you some from this chapter, one that perhaps when you come to in the Bible, you either pass by or skim over very quickly. But let's read some verses and then see what we can get out of it. Genesis 36, starting at verse 1. Now these are the generation of Esau. The same is Edom. Esau took his wife with the daughter of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, the daughter of Anah, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebaioth. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Basemath bare Reuel, and Oholibamah bare Jeush, and Jalim, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau that were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the souls of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his possessions, which he had gathered in the land of Canaan, and went into a land away from his brother Jacob, for their substance was too great for them to dwell together, and the land of their sojournings could not bear them because of their cattle. And Esau dwelt in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau; Reuel, the son of Basemath, the wife of Esau. And the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatham, and Kenaz, and so on. Verse 15. These are the chiefs of the sons of Esau. The sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, chief Teman, chief Omar, chief Zepho, chief Kenaz, and so forth. Verse 19. These are the sons of Esau, and these are their chiefs. The same is Edom. These are the sons of Seir, the Horite, the inhabitants of the land, Lotan, and Shobal, and Zibeon, and Anah, and Dishan, and Ezer, and Dishan. These are the chiefs that came of the Horites, the children of Seir, in the land of Edom. Now, look at verse 23. And these are the children of Shobal, Alban, and Manahath, and Ebal, and Shepho, and Onam. And these are the children of Zibeon, Aya, and Anah. This is Anah, who found, and notice the change, the hot springs in the wilderness as he fed the asses of Zibeon, his father. And these are the children of Anah, and so forth. Verse 31. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. And Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhabah. And Bela died, and Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his stead, and so forth, and so forth. And verse 40, and these are the names of the chiefs that came of Esau according to their families, after their places by their names: chief Timnah, chief Alva, chief Jetheth, and so forth. And the last sentence, this is Esau, the father of the Edomites. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for every part of the Word of God forgives any tendency on our part to turn from some scripture as if it is unworthy of our examination, or to turn from it because it is going to require thought and labor on our part. But let us approach the scripture, believing that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so from this portion tonight, may we indeed derive from it that which is profitable. And by thy Spirit's help, we can do this. Let us know all that is necessary, so undertake for us, we pray. Those who hear, for him who speaks, help us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This chapter is about Esau, Jacob's older brother. Not much older, because he was Jacob's twin, and if it were left to Jacob, he would have been Jacob's younger brother, because when he was being born, he took him by the heel. And so this chapter is the chapter of Esau, Jacob's older twin brother. Now, it is not unique because Abraham had two sons. First of all, he had Ishmael by Hagar, the Egyptian, and then he had Isaac by Sarah. And so, Abraham, the chosen, the father of the faithful, has a direct line through Isaac, but an indirect line through Ishmael. And because of that, you will find God telling us things about Ishmael and his descendants as well. Not the direct line, but Ishmael could point to Abraham and say, he is my father as much as he is your father, Isaac. And Isaac could not disagree. But Isaac could say, yes, but Sarah is my mother. And that would end the matter. However, when it comes to Isaac, he had two sons as well, Esau, the firstborn, and Jacob, the younger son. And yet, Jacob is the son in the direct line, and Esau is the son who is the indirect line of the chosen people of God. And in this case, as Ishmael could say, I am the son of Abraham as much as you are, and Isaac would confess and say, but we have different mothers. In this instance, Esau could say, I am as much the son of Isaac as you are, and Jacob would say, yes, and we have the same mother. And so they are identical. And because of that, God tells us things about Esau as he tells us things about Ishmael, even though Ishmael and Esau are not in the direct line. They are the direct descendants of Abraham, but God says, not through Ishmael, but through Isaac. Not through Esau, but through Jacob. But having been born of Abraham, and having been born of Isaac, God tells us things about them. And Abraham loved Ishmael, and he was grieved when God told him to send him away. And the Lord said, even though I'm going to send him away, I'm going to do great things for the man. And he did. And in like manner, when Esau lost the blessing, he appealed to his father and got some kind of blessing out of his father. And though he was not in the direct line, still he was blessed of his father. And God said, I'm going to do great things for him as well. Not great in comparison to what I'm going to do for his twin brother Jacob. And I'm not going to do for Ishmael the great things that I'm going to do for Isaac, but I'm going to do things for them that are great in comparison to other men. And so what God does is to tell us a little bit about Ishmael and tell us more about Esau as he tells us somewhat about Cain, the older brother of Abel. He gives us a little genealogy of him, but it trails off and disappears into nothingness. We never know what happened. But he was as much a son of Adam as Abel was a son of Adam. And so God tells us a little bit about these men, but then they pass off the scene because God and his historical program is going through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then the 12 sons of Jacob, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and the other sons. He's telling us about them. And so God tells us in chapter 36 about the life of Esau in a summarized way. Because when you come to Jacob, every time a son is born, it tells us about the birth of that son and why his name was given and who his mother was. One son after another, whether it was Rachel or Leah, whether it was Bilhah, whether it was Zilpah, every time a son of the direct line is born, their name is given in the circumstances attending their birth, as well as Dinah, the one named girl of Jacob. But when it comes to Esau, what God does is to take his genealogy and give it to us in a general, summarized way, sets it before us, and then we read about it here, as we can read about it again in the book of Chronicles. And God says, I'm telling you this about Esau, even though he is not in the direct line. And this is how it starts. I've been telling you that there is a similarity between Ishmael and Isaac and between Jacob and Esau because they were half-brothers and brothers. And there is a similarity also between Jacob and Esau because Jacob had another name and his name was Israel. And it says again and again in this chapter, Esau, the same is Edom. And so Esau has two names as Jacob has two names, and God tells us those names. But the difference is this, that when it comes to Jacob and his name, God gives it to him. When it comes to Abraham and his other name, God gives it to him. When it comes to Sarai and her other name, God gives it to her. But when it comes to Esau and his other name, men give it to him. And Jacob got his other name because he wrestled with God and prevailed. Esau gets his other name because he wrestles with Jacob and loses. The name Jacob means supplanter, but God says no more. Your name is going to be named Israel, a prince of God, one who wrestled with God and prevailed. But the word Edom means red because Esau came in exhausted from a hunt. And Jacob was sitting down making a pot of pottage. And it smelled so good to Esau. And Esau said, give me some of that red pottage. And Jacob said to him, not until you sell me your birthright. And he said, what good is my birthright to me? And so he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And because of this mundane, debasing exchange of his birthright for one mess of pottage, God calls him in the New Testament, that profane person who for one mess of pottage sold his birthright. And so when Esau receives another name, it is because of a failure on his part. He could have wrestled and prevailed, but instead Jacob wrestled with him and Jacob prevailed. He wrestled with men. And Jacob wrestled with God as well. And so he exchanges his birthright for one mess of pottage. And from then on, his name is called Edom, which means that red pottage. He's called Red. Why? Because he sold his birthright for red pottage. And so he has a name. And the names that God gives, in the case of Sarah and Abram, are because something glorious and uplifting has happened to them. Abram, who is the exalted father, is changed to Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. And God said, look now toward heaven. If you can number the stars, so can you be able to number the seed that shall come from your loins. And so Abram, exalted father, the father of a multitude. And I wonder if you girls would like the name Sarai or Sarah. If you have the name Sarai, it means one who domineers. And nobody would want to have that name. But Sarah means a princess. And so God changes the name of Abram to Abraham, and he changes the name of Sarai to Sarah, and he changes the name of Jacob to Israel. But the people look at Esau and change his name from Esau to Edom, depicting that time in his life when he sold his birthright for one mess of pottage. All right, that introduces him. It tells us these are the generations of Esau. It's most important to remember this word. It is the word in the book of Genesis, tolavot, and it occurs 13 times, and each time it is the heading of some important person, and it tells of those who descend from them. And the word, these are the generations, occur in verse 1 and also in verse 9. These are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites. And it tells us about the generations of Adam, and it tells us about the generations of Noah, and finally we come over to the generations of Esau, as we'll find, the generations of Jacob. God tells us about these men and their descendants, and so it is important to us, because this is the generation, the tolavot, one of the 13 tolavot that are mentioned in the book of Genesis, and God wants us to know about it. Now, the difference between the generation of Esau and that of Jacob is this. When he was 40 years of age, Esau went out and chose him two wives of the daughters of Canaan. And it says these daughters of Canaan were a vexation to his mother and his father, daughters of that heathen land, and Esau went out and chose two of them, and then when he finally learned, 37 years later, that these wives had displeased his parents, imagine that you've been married to two women, and you didn't understand for 37 years that your parents weren't pleased with them. It says finally when Jacob was sent away to marry a daughter, not of the daughters of Canaan, but of the descendants of Laban, it says that when he saw that his wife pleased not his father, it said he went and married one of his father's grandchildren. He married the daughter of Ishmael, not understanding that he had made a mistake again. Here was a man who was ever so dense. He did not understand what was pleasing, and yet he tried. He went out and chose the women that pleased him, but then he saw that after 37 years, they did not please his parents, so he said, well, I'll make another choice. And he went and chose one whom God had rejected. And it tells us about this. All right, having told you that, I could have spent the whole time in going into the differences that God has set forth in his word in chapters 26, 28, 36, and 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Because this is the challenge. That if you look at these chapters later, please, later, if you look at them, you will find that it is impossible to set up the wives in the exact same order that are given in Genesis 26 and 28 and Exodus 36. In one chapter, they are given as being named one thing, but in another chapter, another thing, and then another variation is that one time they are called the children of a Hivite, and then the next time the children of the Horite, and you look at it, and it's all confusing at first, and so I will simply tell you this, that so often in the scripture, as I've already told you, if I spoke of Jacob, could I not speak of Israel? You say, of course. Why? Because they had two names. If I speak of Abram and Abraham, could I speak of either? You say yes, and let me ask you this. Who knows who these were? Hananiah? Mishael? Azariah? Perhaps you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Of course you do, but you didn't know Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah unless you had studied it. Tell me, who was Jedediah, you know? I'm not talking on television. Jedediah? Well, that was Solomon, you see? And at times the scripture speaks of one who is called, who was Uzziah? Have you ever heard of Azariah? Same person. And so that is one way you look at it. They have different names in scripture. At one time called this, and at another time called that. And, as I told you, in the case of Jacob, each time his son was born, the name that was given and why is recorded in scripture. But the genealogy and the biography of the others who are not so prominent in scripture, during their lifetime, they also had experiences and they had their names changed, and God does not tell us. And so if he chooses to use the first name they were given, and then a later name they were given, you have no right to complain. You should have expected it. I told you about Sarah and Sarai, and Abram and Abraham, and Jacob and Israel, and Esau and Edom, again and again and again. And so when the critic comes, he says, aha, contradiction. Not having seen the precedent that God has interspersed throughout his word up until now, they want to find something wrong. But I'm going to look at it and say, what is it that I have to examine carefully to understand? And so that's what I did this past week. That's why, in one sense, to tell you about this, my task was to make it profitable and understandable and enjoyable, which is no easy task. And that's what I'm seeking to do, because mostly you look at this and you say it's names. But I went through all of these names and put them down side by side. And I said, yes, why, of course, this is the way it is. And then I learned not only about Esau, but I learned about things of the Horites and Mount Seir before Edom came and names were changed. And I understood what happened when Esau came. All of those things are found elsewhere in the Bible. You'll find comments about Seir in Genesis 14, and then you'll find comments in Deuteronomy 2 about how Edom came and conquered and subdued the inhabitants of Mount Seir. And so God tells you the history. He puts these things down in one chapter, but you have to know the Bible as a whole. And it says, much studying is a weariness of the flesh, but it has great rewards when you do it. And things begin to open up, and instead of being a dull, dry as dust chapter, it's fascinating, and the parts of the puzzle fit together, and you understand why things are the way that they are. You understand what kind of man Esau was, because it starts doing this. Now let me give you some help, because this will assist you. In verses 1 through 8, this is the way God does it. I cannot tell you why. You have Esau and his wives and his son. That's all you get. Esau, his wives, and his sons that were born in the land of Canaan. Then, when you come to verse 9, you get Esau's wives and sons and grandsons. You understand? He repeats the wives and the sons, and then he adds the grandson. And then, starting at verse 15, he leaves out the wives, but he gives the sons and the grandson and those who became dukes or chiefs. And then he gives, down at verse 20, the sons of Seir, the Horites, the inhabitants before Esau or Edom came, and names were changed. He gives the names of their sons, and then he gives the names of those who became chiefs. And then, look at this, then farther along, it says in verse 31, these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. And then in verse 31 to verse 39, he tells us the kings. And then finally, starting in verse 40 to the end, he tells us the names of the dukes that came of Esau, that are different, even though they have some names that are similar. He has no less than four names that are repeated earlier, but just as a father has the same name as a son and a grandson, these are other youths. And once you see it, you say, I understand. If you approach it and just start reading names, you are hopelessly confused. But listen, if you say Esau, his wives, and his son, you can understand that. And then at verse 9, Esau's wives and son and grandson, I can understand that. And then Esau's sons and grandsons who became chiefs or dukes. And then we leave Esau and we get to the inhabitants of the land that were there before Esau moved out of the land. And you go through it and you look at it, you say, well, there's an order to it, an arrangement, and it becomes meaningful and it is profitable. Yes, if you will go and pursue it and find these things out, there is an orderliness to the Word of God, and there are challenges, and it says this. It says, the glory of God is to conceal a matter. The glory of kings is to search it out. And you'll find that when the task comes, so often you say, well, I'm nothing but an ordinary person. I'm not a king. But there is a challenge that God puts here. There are difficulties. And I thank God for those men who are scholars and spiritual, who when the critics come and say the Bible is full of contradictions, where they point out this and that, and they make fools out of these critics. And if they are not able to solve the difficulties, they reverently tell you that and suggest this or that, though coming to no firm conclusion. And this is the way it is, because there are some things that are hidden, and even kings that have fought valiantly to understand them have not been able to unravel them. But God has. And God can. And so you continue studying the scriptures. Now, it mentions this. It mentions that for a while, Esau, Jacob's older brother, lived in the environment of his father, Isaac, but his possessions became so large that finally when Jacob did come home, 30 years after he had left, he came home at 107 years of age. Finally, however much of Esau's possessions and how much of his household dwelt in the land, at this time, when Jacob brought his cattle and his possessions, why, the land was not able to bear them all, and that is why Esau moved to Mount Seir. And it says that he subdued the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and then all of those who in the past gloried and spoke of this locality being called by my father's name, later on it is called by the name of Edom. And let me tell you this, because I could tell you many things about Esau that are not in this chapter, that are not brought to our attention in this chapter, but I shan't. But many times when it says, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, it's not speaking of them as individuals, but it is speaking of them as representatives, and it speaks about what he did to the descendants and the territory that Esau went and occupied that is called Edom. He is the father of the Edomites, as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is the father of the Israelites. And so when you read of the Edomites, you're reading of Esau and his descendants, just as when you read of the Israelites, you are reading of Jacob and his descendants. And so the blessing of God was so great, because remember, God promised blessings to both of them, that the land could not contain their possession. It was somewhat like that when Abraham, at that time Abram, and Lot came together, and they broke up. And Lot cast his eyes toward the well-watered plain, and Abraham was willing to take the humble place and let Lot take what he wanted to. And so we see the blessing of God in a material way in the lives of both of these men, but the difference is this, that God blessed Esau for ever so many years in a material way, but then he and his descendants become proud and vain and become enemies of God's people and the things of God. And then God destroys them. And he writes throughout the Old Testament about what has happened to Esau, the Edomites. But this is what you will find, that Esau was a man of the field, and when he came to meet his brother Jacob when he returned home, he had 400 men with him. He was a leader. He was a chieftain. He had in him the ability to lead and organize and become a great man. Whereas, it says, Jacob was a quiet man, a man of the tent. But it was instilled in this man's nature to organize people, to gather things together, to have an army, to go forth to conquer, to subdue, to leave one place, to go to another. And instead of Mount Seir, then it's named after Esau, the Edomite. And then, not the names of the old inhabitants continue, but you will find that now Esau and his descendants and their names occur. And this is so interesting. It mentions the sons of Esau, and then it mentions their grandson, and all of them live. So often, if you're looking at the lives of some, unless God has left out the ones who died, when they have children, why, they live a while, and then they die. But here, all of his sons live, and then each son became a duke, a chief, an exalted man. And so the sons took after their father. And then the father, the son, the grandson, they all become chieftains. They are chiefs. They are dukes because it distinguishes from kings. They have various titles. But these are exalted men, leaders among men. And every son that Esau had became a duke or became a chief, a leader of men. And so you see that there was innately in these men that ability. And that's the way some people are. They have children. And if you will look at this, if you will look at our land, and you look at John Adams and his descendants, and other men that are financiers and so forth, somehow they have children that go on, and the Rothschilds, you will see that somehow their children inherit their ability or the start that their fathers give them, and then they continue. Well, in like manner, here is Esau and his descendants, and God tells us about these ones. And then, finally, having told us about Esau, that is the end of him. And God bids him farewell for the simple reason that now God is telling us about the direct line. And I'm wondering about you. Tell me, had you rather had it written about you and your children, that all of them lived, that all of them were domineering, that all of them were chiefs and leaders of men and were rich and had great possessions? In fact, they had such an abundance of possessions that they had to spread out. And now lands and localities are named after me and after my children. Or would you rather have it that your children are spiritually children of Israel? And even though they have no earthly blessings, their names are written in heaven, and so are the names of them that they led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are men of note among the brethren, because they have been a benefit to the people of God. Good soldiers in the church of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. God does not deny all the accomplishments of Esau, but at the same time, God is interested in spiritual accomplishments as well. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 9 that some people that run in a race, they run all, but they fight and they contend to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so the life of Esau, why, it's something that any father or mother would be proud of, to have their child arrive to this station in life, to have descendants of renown, and to have localities named after them. And yet how many of the sons of Esau will be written in the book of life? And yet I can tell you about Jacob and his son, because it says that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob shall sit down in the kingdom of God, and the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out. Not because they are literal physical descendants of Jacob, but in the sense that they are the ones through whom the direct line comes, and Jacob imparts to them the truth, the desire for the spiritual things of God. That is important. And so, God could bless us both ways. But if the choice must be made, let me not have it written about me that I turn out to be an Esau and my descendants are like his, but let me be a Jacob who produces a Joseph who produces a David who produces a Lord Jesus Christ, and the earth is eternally and spiritually blessed through them. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for the way that thou dost acknowledge that the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. Asaph indeed speaks about those that are different from the Christians, the children of God. They're not in trouble as other men. Their step is firm. There are no pangs in their death. But as for me, I've been plagued all the day long. We are thankful, Father, that as thy son said concerning some on earth, they receive their reward. We are thankful that there is a latter end. And we read about the great ones of the earth, and we would not take away from them any of their accomplishments. Indeed, they are fighters and warriors and hunters and organizers, and these they have descendants who have amounted to something in this world. But our Father, let us long to have children like Eunice and Lois, a Timothy. Let us have children who amount to something in the kingdom of God, and let us set our affection on things above and not on things below. May we be fathers and mothers who have descendants who are children of God and have brought spiritual blessings to the world. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.